broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
My first reaction is pretty awesome that people are just having sex out in the open.
There have been people who've called us pedophiles, they've called us perverts.
For about 3 or 4 years now, we've been doing this every time.
Something that's behind closed doors.
I've used the N-word most of my life.
Keep that chicken.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, radio for patriots, by patriots. And tonight we've got a couple of interesting guests for you. First off, we're going to be talking with Lloyd Bonafide, who is a Korean War veteran. He's going to be giving us a perspective I don't think you've ever heard anywhere else. The perspective on whether or not those Japanese workers going in to deal with that radiation, and some of them have said, we fully expect to die, whether that's necessary or not. We're going to talk to Lloyd about that. And we also have Dr. Ron Turner and the challenges of teachers and what they do to get over those challenges. I think you're going to be shocked at this underground of teachers who use a website, a hub, to post pictures of students and to make fun of them. World famous Phil Hendry Show is every night worldwide on the World Wide Web, and you can go to the website philhendryshow.com and watch Phil TV in HD. This is our live streaming video of the show right now. If you've got Sky Fire on your iPhone, you can watch us on the iPhone, you can watch us on your Android, you can watch us on any mobile device, and that means you can take this radio show wherever you want to take it, and you can watch the video of it as well. Go to our shop. We've got a brand new item. People who are watching the video cast can see it. In fact, we were drinking from it during the pre-show, and that is the Phil Hendry Show coffee mug. It's delicious. The mug itself is not delicious, although I might take a bite out of it, you know.
Yeah, but what's in it?
What's in it is delicious, yeah. And I'm sure the mug makes it taste all the better. So go to our shop there at philhendryshow.com. This is one of the most engaging stories, tragic stories, and certainly one that will be talked about for quite some time, and that is the Japanese nuclear rescuers, these nuclear workers who recognize that it is inevitable some of them will die. And it is inevitable, they say, that they will die within weeks. And yet they are going to go in at the disaster-stricken Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan, and they say they expect to die from radiation sickness as a result of their efforts to bring the reactor under control. The mother of one of these men has talked to Fox News, and that was her claim. And that's just the kind of thing, my goodness. Well, the first thing that comes to your mind is the word hero. And then all kinds of biblical things, you know. No greater love has a man for another than to give his life for his fellow man, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Speaking tearfully through an interpreter by phone, the mother of a 32-year-old worker said, "My son and his colleague have discussed it at length. They've committed themselves, and his colleagues, plural, they have committed themselves to die if necessary to save the nation. He told me they have accepted that they will all probably die from radiation sickness in the short term or cancer in the long term." That's pretty powerful. And the first thing that came to my mind, and I call me a cynic, was I wonder if this were happening in America, I wonder if we'd hear the same thing out of an American nuclear worker or reactor worker. I suspect we would, but I always kind of just keep those things in the back of my mind, you know, just because I don't think the courage and that kind of courage where you give your life for somebody else, I don't think these things are bought cheaply. I don't think that these things are bought cheaply. I think that these things, it takes a lot, you know, and it takes a lot to join these boots. These are the courageous boots, the wearers of these shoes, the courageous people who would take up that call and help the country. I want to get on the line here. Lloyd Bonafide, he's a Korean War veteran, served in the United States Navy from 1950 to 1953, joins us from Alhambra, California. Lloyd is retired now, and he and his wife owned a heating and plumbing business now for many years. Lloyd, good evening.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I've enjoyed listening to you for a long time, Mr. Hendry. Thank you for allowing me on your program.
Thank you very much for joining me, sir. When you hear these Japanese workers say that they are going to most likely die But they will do it because they want to save their country, and they want to bring this cooling system, they want to bring this reactor under control. Does it take you back to any similar situations that you saw when you were a young man in combat?
Well, I have to tell you that when I used to hear about these heroes, I don't mean any disrespect, but I don't think you can be very intelligent. If you say, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to die, you can't possibly be all that intelligent. Now,
We're not talking about intelligence, though, are we?
Well, yes, we are. We're talking about, there's a lot of things that you want to say or to talk about, and one of them is, am I bright enough to get out of this situation that I'm in with my, as we used to say in the service, with my rear end intact? No one wants to go into a war or go into any situation like that and come out of it in a body bag. That's not the goal. The goal is to go, as General Patton said, and make the other poor dumb, the other dumbass die for his country.
But in the case of these radiation, these nuclear reactor workers, these nuclear rescuers, as they're being called, this is not a war against anybody. It's a war against a terrible event, against technology run amok to save the country.
But it's still a war, and you don't go into a war saying, I think what I'd like to do today is die. Only an idiot things like that.
And well, that's not what these men are saying, though.
No, well, they're not saying it in so many words, but they're essentially saying, I want everyone to know that I'm going to die. It reminds me of my own son, and I spoke to your producer before my son Jerome was a United States Army lieutenant in Vietnam. And he, it was like any other day, and they were in a group of attack helicopters, and anyway, someone said that there was a hand grenade, and he jumped on the hand grenade. Well, now, this is the stupidest thing you can do.
He jumped on the hand grenade, though, and saved the lives of other men.
He might have saved the lives of... He didn't save his own life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? This is an idiot. And now he's my son, and I loved him very dearly, and I love him to this day. But only an idiot throws himself on a hand grenade.
But what about the men that are going to die?
What about the men that are going to... You can say that there's going to be... Excuse me, I don't mean to raise my voice.
Well, I'm asking a stupid question. Maybe I don't understand here, but... I believe that a man that... we give medals for that. We give the Congressional Medal of Honor for that.
Oh, I know that. We give medals for being stupid all the time. If there's one thing that the United States does, it's give out medals to some of the dumbest SOBs. And again, I say I love my son, and I'll always love him. But you've got to be some... You really have got to be about 5 cents short of a full dollar... To say, oh, look at that, there's a hand grenade. I know what I'll do. I'll jump on it. It's not a natural act.
So the legacy of your son having jumped on a hand grenade is that he's stupid.
Stupid. Yes, sir. Now, the other...
But so, and how do you say your son is stupid and at the same time honor him?
Of course I honor him. I love my son. And I'm not so, Mr. Henry, I'm not so high... I don't have such a high opinion of myself that I can't love a stupid man. Of course I love my son. The Japanese workers that are going to go into this nuclear power plant and they're going to restore this power plant to some sort of functionality, they're going to control or otherwise bring under control the dangerous elements of this power plant, and they acknowledge that it's going to kill them. Well, I don't know what to say. I don't think I've ever heard anything quite that stupid in my life.
And don't you at all give these men credit for saving the lives of many, many people that could be contaminated with that radiation?
No, I don't give them credit for that because they're going to kill themselves.
But what about the people's lives that they're saving?
And what they, look, Mr. Henry, I can say it a lot of different ways to you. I think there's 50. They call them the Fukushima 50. Is that what the thing on that I saw the TV show?
Yes, sir. The Fukushima 50.
All right. You know what they ought to call them? They ought to call them the dumbass 50 because what these dumbasses are going to do is
why would you say that about men? I'm having a hard time.
Well, listen to me, please.
All right.
These dumbasses have been working in these four reactors, and that were damaged on the tsunami, and they have been repeatedly exposed to dangerously high radioactive levels. That is not a natural act. Standing there and soaking up radiation like you're getting a suntan.
And, well, I don't think they went in there, though.
Hold on for a minute. Just hold on for a minute. Now then. They know that they've been exposed to dangerously high levels of radiation, and guess what they're going to do? You want a good one? Are you sitting down for this? They're going back in. And so they're going to kill themselves so they can bring this radioactive plant back under control, but they're dead.
But other people live.
Well, good for the other people, but what about the guys that are... You don't understand, do you?
So you're saying, in other words, that a man giving his life...
I personally don't think there's such a thing as a man giving his life. I think that there is such a thing as a dumbass. That's what I think there is. A dumbass who has decided that I'm going to go in there and suck up a little radioactivity.
And he's not thinking about anybody else's life. He's not thinking about saving anybody. He's just a dumbass.
Well, no, he's thinking he's going to save people, but then he's, wait a second, I'm dead. Then he gets dead, and that's the dumbass part.
So it's not worth it. In other words, in your mind, if the guy's dead, then it wasn't worth it.
Well, hold on for a minute. I saw this young man who was my son. I saw his mother cry herself to sleep for a year. And why? Because the dumbass jumped on a hand grenade. And
well, the man, he saved the lives of his comrades. Was he not decorated posthumously?
Yeah, they gave him a Silver Star. So what? The guy is in a box, and I don't open it because I don't know how many different, I don't know what they got, you know, how much of them they're burying.
Oh, come on, man. You're talking about your son. You're talking about, in my opinion, you're talking about very brave people.
Mr. Henry, I got to tell you. There's a fine line between brave and as dumb as the day is long, as dumb as a handful of Georgia clay. There's a very fine line between that. And while the Japanese workers may think that they're saving a lot of lives, they're going back in there like the dumbasses they are to try to get this work done. And meanwhile, they're sucking up more radiation, you know, than the, what was the, not the monkey, but the, you remember that giant
Godzilla?
Yeah, more than Godzilla. So, you know.
Well, I don't know that this is a time or a place for jokes. And
I'm not joking. You don't understand. I'm not joking. I am telling you, I love my son dearly, and he's about as stupid as a bag full of hammerheads when he jumped on that the hand grenade.
All right. Lloyd, hang on the line here. The Japan's nuclear rescuers, stupid. Why? They're going in and they're going to kill themselves trying to bring this reactor under control. Lloyd's son, who jumped on a hand grenade in Vietnam, stupid. Why? He got himself blown up. This is the voice and the opinion of a man who is a combat veteran who believes that these people are not gaining anything other than sucker status. So we'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide to talk more about the Japanese reactor, the Fukushima 50, these brave plant workers struggling to prevent a meltdown to four reactors while they themselves are exposed to critically high levels of radioactivity. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Are they stupid or are they brave? We'll be back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
No, I don't. Welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me is Lloyd Bonafide, a U.S. Navy veteran of Korea. Your son was killed in Vietnam when?
My son was killed in September of 1969 at a place called Pleiku. And they were in a squadron, I guess, of these attack helicopters.
Uh-huh.
And when they finally got on the deck with these, and they had engaged, I guess, the enemy, this happened where a hand grenade had been thrown or otherwise was discovered there in the midst of them, and he jumped on it. And I remember getting, the news about it, and I said, "Boy, that's, what a dumbass." And my wife said, "What happened?" I said, "I got the telegram. I got," and she was shocked. And
did you read the telegram for your wife?
Yeah, well, what happened was that they will send an Army chaplain out, but I got the telegram, and she said, "What happened?" And I said, "That dumbass did it." I didn't even...
"That dumbass did it." That's what you said about your son?
Yes, I said it about my son, and you know why? Because he's my son.
And but your wife must have been hysterical.
My wife was... knew what my opinion was, and I said to her, "Here you go. Take a look at your dumbass son." And I gave her the telegram that said, basically, that Jerome Bonafide with the 8th Army was, however they put it, was blown in half by a hand grenade because he's a dumbass.
And that's not what the telegram... You've laid across your son's memory this idea of dumbass.
I love my son, and no, that's not all that he was about. He was a great young man, and he was a smart kid, and anything a father could be proud of. He was just one of these guys that liked to stick his neck out for other people. And I'm here to tell you that there is nothing in this world that will... there is nothing in this world that is worth less than sticking your neck out for some other dumbass.
And what do you mean, sticking your neck out for another dumbass? Is your attitude, in other words...
Hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. With all due respect, I'm the one that's had the Korean War experience, not you.
I understand that, sir. But when you say sticking your head out for some dumbass, I mean, in your world, everybody's a dumbass.
No, that's not true.
What about let me ask you a question, and let's get down. We have... an impressive list of men and women who have won the Congressional Medal of Honor. Most of those people receive that honor posthumously, after they died.
Yes.
Are you telling me that's a whole list of dumbasses?
Pretty much, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you see the series on, what was it called, The Pacific?
Yeah, you're talking about that John Bassalom. I'm way ahead of you. Is there anybody dumber than a guy that leaves Hollywood? He's got a movie star for a girlfriend, and this stupid bastard, he goes back and he gets his ass blown into the... his ass went here and his head over there. What's dumber than that?
Are you talking about this man Bassalom?
Yes, I'm talking about him. Is that the guy?
Yeah.
He had a movie star for a girlfriend.
Well, the guy was a Marine, and he wanted to go back, and he wanted to train other Marines.
I understand he wanted to train other Marines. I'm not telling you, that. I'm just telling you, it proves to me he's a dumbass.
But he didn't get the Congressional Medal of Honor for that. He got it for something else. He got it for.
He got it on Guadalcanal, and he did it. He got because the. What did the dumbass do? He turned around, "I got to go back and get ammunition, and there's 5 Japanese." And so this dumbass, all he wanted to do was get a cup of coffee, and he almost got himself machine gun in half.
All right, back with Lloyd Bonafide and more, and see Ron Turner next hour on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And with us is Lloyd Bonafide, a Navy veteran and a man who lost his son in Vietnam. And we're talking about heroes, the Japanese nuclear workers, who the Fukushima 50, who have said that they expect that they'll die as the result of their exposure to radiation. They're willing to die to help, quote, save the nation, Japan. And it is rather uplifting. But you have said over and over here, Mr. Bonafide, that people who do that, people who give, who sacrifice themselves, are dumbasses, are stupid. You've even put your own son in that category.
Mr. Henry is my son. And
oh, no, I know he's your son, but I still have not figured out here why it is you would relegate an individual that goes out and saves another human being at the cost of their own life and call them a dumbass.
Let me explain. I can tell you something. In Korea, and we were in a very, very isolated area, and this is right after the Marines had been pulled out of Chosin Reservoir. And I had a box of rations. I had a case of rations. And I saw a man and two little children, and he was pushing a bicycle. As you can well imagine, the refugee situation at this time in Korea was quite daunting, and we were doing what we could, but it was very difficult. The communist Chinese had pushed everybody, down the peninsula.
Right.
But I had this box of rations, and I gave the rations to this man. Now, you can take my situation, giving these rations to this man, or my son in Vietnam, who fell on a hand grenade, or these Japanese radiation workers. None of us are going to get any real appreciation. The Japanese are going to die. My son died. And not one person in the last 60 years has said to me what a great thing it was that you did. So, whether it's me or my son or the Japanese, no one cares. Look at me. I'm alive. How I am alive, I don't know, but I'm alive. And no one says anything to me about the K-rations that I gave to this Korean. No one says to me what a great man, and they didn't get, the Congressional Medal of Honor, whatever you want to call it. Nobody, in any way, shape, or form, did that. And so you see what a, really, and I say this with respect, but I also say it with truth, you see what a rotten world it is that we live in, and an ungrateful world that we live in. When I had the K-rations...
All right, I want to interrupt you, if you don't mind, sir.
No, I just want to finish. I had the K-rations. I gave them to this Japanese, or what, the Korean, and that's the last I saw him.
Well, Mr. Bonafide, your son fell on a hand grenade. The Japanese nuclear workers are going to be exposed to radiation. You gave a box of K-rations to a Korean father. Now, can you tell me how your sacrifice... Are you saying that's equal to...
Equal to my... Yes. Why would it not be equal? This is what I'm saying. Because those guys are so stupid, they got killed. I'm supposed to take a back seat? This is the point I'm making.
They got killed, but that man... Your son got killed laying on a hand grenade. The Chinese are going the Japanese are going to die as a result of radiation poisoning. You're not going to die.
Well, it was...
You're Korean.
I'm sorry, it was Korean. And I don't understand your point of view. I was at war. I could have been killed. I could, in that instant, I could have been killed.
What was he going to kill you for?
The fact that I gave him K-rations, he might have felt they were booby-trapped. The little boy and the little girl that were with him could very well have been hiding weapons, and they would have cut me in half. Are you telling me that what I did wasn't as good as my son laying on a hand grenade? My son's an idiot. I'm still here. I don't understand.
I find it to be just a little tough to hear you say that your son's an idiot for laying on a hand grenade. You're a great guy for handing out a box of K rations to the people, to the Koreans that you saw, and what you did was equal to what he did.
Are you trying to tell me that it's not?
Absolutely, I'm telling you that it's not. I'm telling you that it's not equal to what the Japanese nuclear workers are doing. How have you risked your life handing a box of rations to a Korean man with two little children?
Let me go over it again, okay? Because I guess, you know, you're excuse me for saying dumbass, Phil, but...
You know, I don't like that word being applied to just anybody.
Well, you're talking like you're a dumbass. Okay.
I don't like that word being applied just to anyone, okay?
Well, all right, but here, I just got done telling you that the Korean, and why I gave him the K-rations, he could have thought that I had just handed him a bomb, and that he was, and the only thing left would be his the six legs, his two, his son, and his daughter, and the two wheels of the bicycle, and that's all that's left. And or his son might have opened up on me with an automatic weapon. Now that is a reality.
And did you see soldiers dying that way?
In what way?
Did you see them getting killed by little kids with automatic weapons?
No, I didn't see it, but I could well imagine it might have happened. And the fact, and I did see one guy hand a Korean a box of explosives, which he thought was funny. I didn't. But he didn't know that it was plastic explosive. He thought it was just firecrackers. And all that was left were two sandals and handlebars.
And who is this?
Of a Korean.
And two sandals and handlebars. So now we think it's funny, huh?
No, I don't, sir. I don't think it's funny at all. All I'm telling you is my dear son... Oh, was he an idiot?
All right, Lloyd, thank you for giving us some perspective.
I didn't give you anything. Everything I told you, you think I'm a lying old...
No, thank you for giving me perspective on the Japanese nuclear workers. I still think they're heroes, as I think your son is a hero, as I think you're a good man, too.
But I'm not a hero, right? I'm not a hero?
You're kind of unenthusiastic.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, I'm one unenthusiastic. His son is a hero. The Japanese workers are heroes. He's a good man handing K rations to a Korean guy, and then telling me, "You never know, man. It could have. He might have thought it was explosives, and he could have opened up on me." I'm not buying it. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, still to come tonight. Ron Tarner weighs in on a website used by teachers to poke fun at their students, plus a couple on a blind date discover their brother and sister. We'll get into the story of Jason Rance and his sister. I'm kidding. Kidding. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a moment.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We can't fight this fight alone, but I think we're going to have to.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Yes, this is a great country. And in many ways, you could say it's a great world. That's stretching it. Maybe we should say that it's a world with great potential. But it is a great country. But even in a country like America, things that are inexplicable take place every day. But if things that are inexplicable take place every day in America, what do you suppose is going on out there in the big wide, beautiful blue world beyond the borders of our country, one can only hold their breath and imagine. You see, I believe when we get these very, very strange, disgusting, and aberrant stories like the one I'm about to read you, it isn't because all of a sudden people are acting strange. It's because we have the phenomenon of communication today, this new, elevated and evolved kind of communication known as the Internet and the World Wide Web, that we're finding out about these things. Witness this story from Bel Air, Ohio. A morbidly obese man named Robert Hughes has died after police found him fused to a chair he had not moved from in 2 years and were forced to cut a hole in the wall of his house just to get him out. Now, we've heard about having holes cut.
Yeah, that happened a lot with fat people.
Yeah, we've heard about the holes being cut in houses.
But I wonder, the guy was stuck to a chair. And you know why? Because he went to the bathroom there.
All right, Bud, let me finish this. Bud's basically right. A 43-year-old man, his roommates called police, who found him unconscious. They called police. They didn't call a hospital. He was taken to Wheeling Hospital in nearby West Virginia, where he later died. Nearby West Virginia. So I'm going to have to say that this was on the border of West Virginia and Ohio, and I would further say that it was being on the border of West Virginia and Ohio. It might be in an area of the country where perhaps people are rural. And I'm not saying that this is a phenomenon of rural people, because this is a story that could easily have happened in a major city. And quite frankly, I think it could have happened because the apartments are bigger, you know.
Yeah, wouldn't have been a tablet or anything.
Right, you're not going to easily get stuck to a toilet. In any event, he was taken to Wheeling Hospital in nearby West Virginia, where he later died. A hospital spokesman would not comment on the man's death. The man lived with two able-bodied roommates, including his girlfriend. How he had a girlfriend, this is another, and I'm not saying that a guy can't be morbidly obese and, yes, even stuck to a toilet seat because of the fact that, oh, God.
No, that guy, he didn't even wipe.
I don't know. But how you get a girlfriend out of that bargain is as bizarre as I can. And the indignity of this, we're talking about a man has passed on, a man who was something to somebody, who people loved him, and he passed through this world.
Yeah, a lot of stuff passed through him.
And I...
You shut up.
Although that is pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
But this was a man who lived and a man who had friends and family. And look at this. What do we know about him? I'll tell you what we know about him. He was stuck to a chair because he was so fat and filthy. The roommates called police upon finding the man unresponsive on Sunday. Officers who responded to the scene said the man's skin was fused to the fabric of chair and that he was sitting in his own feces and urine with maggots visible.
Oh, yeah. That's bitching.
What's bitching about it?
It's just a weird story. I love it. Give me that. I want to collect it.
No, you ain't collecting nothing. God. God. Go, man.
Man. What's wrong with people?
I don't know. I think people are lost. I think some people just get lost. They just... I don't think there's an abomination that has not transpired in the history of the human race. Look, think about it. Think about it, man. We've had humans having sex with animals. We've had humans eating human flesh. We've had human beings running around sex with children. We've had... Is there any limit to the depravity... Now, that's just moral depravity. There's no limit to man's depravity. Now, when you bring into the equation, is there any limit to how debased a human being can become in his own personal physical habits? And the answer to that question is also a no. There's no limit.
But what's worse? I mean, how could it get much worse than that?
I don't know, Bud, but just the fact you want to collect this story...
I think it's interesting to collect them.
I'd like to belt you just for that. His girlfriend admitted to medics she'd been feeding him by hand since he got too big to get up. At what point did you think to yourself, I gotta get out of here, this is a nut house. Not only does it stink, maybe they felt bad for him, you know.
I was gonna say that, man. Maybe they didn't want to split. If they did, the man's gonna die, you know.
Well, they don't have to live with the guy. And the other thing is, hey, you know what? Ambulances are wonderful things. You can even call them before a guy's croaked. What about that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, I got a great idea there, Jethro. What's that? How's about we call the ambulance before this guy turns blue? Well, I didn't think of that. Yeah, well, funny how these things just kind of pop into my mind. I don't know. Sources told the local television station. Sources told the local TV station in Bel Air. How'd you like to be the reporter that got sent out of that one? Good evening. We stand in front of a log cabin here in Bel Air that the man insisted on eating, drinking, and sleeping in the chair. Friends of the 43-year-old said he had complained about arthritis in his knees, and every time he tried to move, One friend said, I tried to suggest him going to the hospital and getting his legs checked out, but he wouldn't do it. He said he didn't like doctors. Well, no kidding. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, the guy is afraid of doctors, man. He's going to sit there in his own doo-doo.
Sit there in his own doo-doo.
You're talking like a baby.
I can say the word.
All right, okay. One friend said, okay, so you can't force somebody to do something they don't want to do. Ain't that the truth? But I will tell you this, you can call out the authorities if someone is obviously an imminent risk. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
I mean, if you believe that someone is at risk, serious risk, of death, for instance, or serious injury, you can call an ambulance, you can call the police, you can call the authorities and say, look, this individual, I believe, is in very serious trouble, and they're not doing anything for themselves, and they're not moving, and I believe that they've got a very serious health situation here. Are you telling me the cops aren't going to do anything?
Yeah, that guy, he can do what he wants to do.
No, he can't, man. Not if he's sitting in his own crap. No, uh-uh. No, 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 no. No, man, they're going to, at least they're going to stick his ass in, if they can ever get his ass out of the chair.
Well, that's the point.
But once they do, they'll put him in 72-hour observation.
What for?
Are you kidding me or something, man? You wouldn't put a guy like that in a loony bin just to check him out?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
You guys don't think about a lot of stuff, man. First thing I do is, after I got the guy cleaned up, is go, well, let's take him over to the psychiatrist. What the hell's your problem? You know?
Problem is he can't move on account of the size of his butt, you know, everything. Can't move.
Well, he may not be able to move, man, but that doesn't keep him from moving his brain and saying, somebody call an ambulance, please. You know, will someone call me an ambulance because I'm in big trouble. Anyway, one officer said it was the worst thing that he had ever responded to. Another told the local TV station he had to throw away his uniform after helping remove the man from the chair. The living room where the man lived in, his chair was filthy. It was deplorable. It's unbelievable that somebody lives in conditions like that, said Jim Chase, who's a local city code enforcer, and he was talking to WTRF television. I instructed the landlord on Monday morning and the two people, the tenants of the house, that they had to get it cleaned. There's no way they can live in something like that, and so they're working on it, he added. I'll be going back daily, checking on it, making sure that they get it cleaned and serviceable. If not, they must get out. Did a cop do that?
Yeah, I bet a cop can do that. Cop can do that. A cop can take a kid out of a place, like they take a little tiny kid out.
Well, I know the cop can take a kid out of a house, and you have to enforce the health code. But, I mean, can the cop say, doesn't he have to get a health inspector or something like that?
I don't know. A lot of them health inspectors are pretty fascist.
What do you mean a lot of those health inspectors are pretty... Boy, oh boy, man. I'd like to see where you live, man.
No kidding.
No, but it's just like Nazis.
Like Nazis. Why? Because they make you take your garbage out? The landlord said the man used to be an active person and said that she had no idea how bad his condition was since he covered himself with a blanket every time she came to visit. An active guy. What, like 3 years ago, the guy's out there playing volleyball in just some trunks? You know?
Yeah, he's probably all ripped.
What are you kidding me?
Yeah, I bet you like 2 years ago, the guy's ripped. He's just got on a little, you know, bathing suit like a thong.
A thong. 2 years ago, the cat's out there hitting volleyballs, wearing a thong, you know, swigging a beer, wearing Wayfarers. He's just all that. 2 years later, the guy is melded to a seat. I would say something happened in his life, wouldn't you?
I'd say he got some bad news along the way somewhere, yeah.
All right, folks, I didn't mean to make light, but you have to at some point. Don't you have to say, this is beyond any of our experience, so we have to sort of crack wise about it, you'll notice that I have not mentioned the man's name. I'm not going to mention his name either. I think there's enough indignity in the way this guy went out. And although maybe I mentioned it once, because it's actually in the story once, so maybe I did. When we come back, it'll be Dr. Ron Tarner, Dr. Tarner, to talk about how teachers are unstressing at the expense of their students. We're going to find out about this in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming up next.
Phil Hendry.